is a truly wonderful, wonderful experience. And such, it's a very beautiful place. It's a very profound place. Let us begin by reading a few verses glorifying Govinda Hill. These verses are from Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Vraja Riti Chintamani. So let's read a few just to get into the mood. We tried to explain earlier today as well. In Krishna consciousness, mood is such a very important factor. It's just so important and valuable if we can cultivate the right mood, at least as much as we can. In this material world, it's not easy. It's a very challenging place for Krishna consciousness. But if we can cultivate the right mood or try to do that, then to whatever degree we can do that, it will just help us. It will be so valuable. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Govardhan Hill is like a flag of intense sweetness placed in the opulent land of Vrindavan. As the king of mountains, Govardhan Hill offers very pleasing royal service to the young prince of Raja. The rocks of Govardhan Hill are many kinds of splendid jewels that provide thrones, couches, and other kinds of furniture for Sri Krishna, the supreme monarch of all nectar melons. Govardhan Hill's beautiful forests and caves are Krishna's nectar pastime palaces, each one perfect for the supreme good fortune of his beloved and her friends. Govardhan Hill's trees and vines serve Sri Krishna by offering him blossoming branches with sweet fruits and flowers filled with honey, nectar, and fragrant pollen. The musk left by deer, and as well as the kumkum, camphor, and aguru, naturally produced by Govardhan Hill, are all used to give a sweet fragrance to the transcendental body of Lord Krishna. This is a good one, listen to this. There is a pleasant grove of sandalwood trees on Govardhan Hill. I don't know if any of you ever seen the sandalwood tree. Not so common. But there's, you know, they're very fragrant, of course. But there's one problem with sandalwood trees. You know what that is? Snakes. But there's a pleasant grove of sandalwood trees on Govardhan Hill. Although snakes generally flock to sandalwood trees, no snakes ever come here. Or, if sometimes a snake may come, it is not poisonous. Or if sometimes a poisonous snake may come, its poison is automatically counteracted and it can do no harm. As the best servant of Lord Hari, Govardhan Hill has made this wonderful arrangement for the Lord's pleasure. And then he tells a story. Well, he just mentions it last time. One time, a contrary four-eyed gopi left Sri Krishna. Can you imagine that? She was with Lord Krishna and she left Lord Krishna. Amazing. A short time afterwards, she saw a snake on the road. Frightened, she took shelter of Lord Krishna, embracing him and begging for protection. As Lord Hari's best servant, Govardhan Hill made all these nectarian arrangements for his pastimes. So, just a few words by way of introduction for this evening. And I thought, why not? Let us begin by describing in a little more detail that story we just read about the fawn-eyed gopi. What's fawn-eyed? Is that brown? Anyway, she left Krishna. Can you imagine leaving Krishna? If we ever get to Krishna, let us pray we never leave. But she left Krishna. And in a bit of a huff, as they say. Sometimes these things happen. And so she's walking around away along the side of Govardhan Hill in a bit of a mood. And one snake, who was a devotee. He was a very nice devotee, snake, and a very big, this is just, I don't know. Anyway, he was big. He saw this, and he thought, I have to help, I have to serve my beloved Krishna, because Krishna was following after the gopi and trying to pacify her and just make her see reason. But it wasn't working. Alright, it's alright. The friendly snake. It's my friend. He's saffron colored. He's a good snake. The snake. Here she is. She's walking down the side, right along the side of the hill, and the snake just came slithering along very quickly, and then suddenly came in front of her, and yes. And there was a big snake. So this devotee snake then, to help Lord Krishna here at Govardhan Hill, what he did, he just came in front of Srimati Radharani and then raised up. It was a cobra, really big, so it raised up like a almost face level. And you know, just a few meters in front of Srimati Radharani, And Srimati Radharani was so shocked, completely shocked. She just didn't know what to do. Then she just panicked and she spun around. And she knew, of course, that Krishna was following just quite close behind her. So she just turned around and grabbed hold of Krishna. "Save me, please, save me." And now Krishna's very happy because it was actually Srimati Radharani, is now holding him tightly, and he really loves that. So she's holding on to him. There's the snake. She's facing away. Krishna is facing the snake. And she's holding on to him. He's looking over her shoulder into the face of the snake. And the snake went like this. Just watch. The snake went. And Krishna, looking over Radharani's shoulder, he returned it. Good work. Well done. You're a real devotee. That's what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was referring to, actually. That particular pastime, you just mentioned it very briefly, but it's a famous little pastime. So, right, here we are. You know, we were in Radharadana earlier today, and we went on parikrama. We started actually at Radhakund, Shalakund, and then we went around this side, and we got to the end. More or less. I mean, we sort of skipped along a bit, skipped a few places. But anyway, let's just choose a few odd places here and there. Let's do that. How about Manasi Ganga? Normally the devotees start their parikrama, sort of the official place. The official place is Manasi Ganga. It's the center of Govardhan Hill. And according to the rules and regulations, but not everybody does it, but still many do, they start the parikrama at Manasi Ganga, the Ganges which came from Krishna's mind. We told that story this morning, so I won't go into it too much. Anyway, Krishna had killed Vatsasura, and he tried to show off to the gopis that I killed another demon. Just see, I am a cool fella. What a cool cat. Let's say that. But the gopis were not impressed. They said, "Yes, we heard. You killed a baby cow." Because Vatsasura was in the form of a cow. "We heard you killed a baby cow. And so we're not going to have anything to do with you at all. You're contaminated. We will not even, if your shadow touches us, we will just have to dive in the Yamuna, take bath, change our clothes, let alone if you physically touch us." So, and Krishna asked, "What should I do? How can I become purified again?" And Srimati Radharani said, "You have to bathe in the Ganges," which is a long way away. And Krishna, there's no problem, he manifested the Ganges from his mind. And now there was a river there, a big river. And the gopi said, but how do we know this is the Ganges? And what? It's highly unlikely. And Krishna called out, Ganga Mai, Ganga Mai. And out came, look, Ganga Devi. Does that look like Ganga Devi? It is. Maybe when she was a young girl. And she came out of the Mansi Ganga riding on a crocodile. You like crocodiles? Oh, you do? Okay. So she came out riding on a crocodile. And as they, because that's her characteristic, they call it Vahan, or carrier, like Krishna goes on Garuda, and Lord Shiva goes on Nandi the Bull. So Ganga Devi goes on a crocodile. And as we mentioned this morning, we generally don't see a lot of ladies riding around on crocodiles. So they accepted that this is actually the Ganges. Then, another time, when Mansi Ganga was already manifest, then one sadhu visited Vrindavan, and he had just come from the Ganges, up in the north, from Vrindavan, and he told a story how he had been there by the Ganges, and Garuda flew over with a snake hanging from his claws. And of course Garuda is a devotee, but Garuda is a special devotee. He is a non-veg devotee. You know what that means? Anyway. I realize that India is going, you know, culturally and spiritually a bit down the drain. When a few years ago I was flying on Kingfisher Airlines. They went bankrupt shortly after. But Kingfisher Airlines, and they had these little girls who were the stewardesses, they had red mini skirts on, would you believe? And I realized India's really going downhill when the one little girl in her red mini skirt, they're giving out meals. So there I am, dressed just like this. And she just looked straight at me and said, veg or non-veg? And I realized they lost their culture. But Garuda is a devotee, but he's non-veg. It's just his rasa. So he flew over the Ganges with the snake hanging from his claws, and the tail of the snake went through the waters of the Ganges as he flew over, just, you know, just above the river. And then that snake, on the spot, turned into a four-armed Vaikuntha resident devotee and went back to Godhead. In front of everyone's eyes. So this the sadhu traveling mendicant, he told the story to all the bridge busses. And all the bridge busses and Nanda Maharaj became so inspired that Nanda Maharaj said, let's go to the Ganges. Let's go right now. Pack your bags. We're off. We're gonna bathe in the Ganges and we will go to Vaikuntha. Not Haribol. Because we want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, not just Vaikuntha. You know, Vaikuntha, if Goloka Vrindavan is just first class, Vaikuntha's kind of economy class. So Krishna heard that and he thought, this is not good. This is just not good. My devotees are becoming attracted to some lesser type of spirituality, a lower type of relationship with me, and they want to leave Vrindavan. Oh, this is terrible. So then Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, just like he told the gopis, actually the Ganges is here. Manasi Ganga. And Nanda Maharaj, just like the gopis, couldn't believe it. The Ganges? No, it's not possible. But Krishna brought them here to Manasi Ganga, and he did the same thing. He called out, Ganga Mai, Ganga Mai. And out came Ganga Devi again. And then they understood, it is the Ganges. And they took bath there. But the thing is, this Ganges, Manasi Ganga, some might think it's sort of like an expansion of the other Ganges to the north. But no, it's the other way around. That this Ganges is the original. And the river which runs from the Himalayas and then eventually down through the northern part of the country and into the ocean, it's expanded from Manasi Ganga. And if you take bath in this Ganges, you don't just go to Vaikuntha, you go to Goloka Vrindavan. So now, let's see, where are we? Yeah. We were coming in Radharatna temple. We were coming along this side. And one place we didn't visit this morning, but it's a very important place, a very nice place. It's just out from Aniyor village. Where's Aniyor? Aniyor's about here somewhere. If you go to Aniyor, how many of you have been to go the downhill? I mean, so few. Why are you anti-go the downhill? You must come with us. We're leaving on Friday. And we're staying at Go the Downhill for about 3 weeks. Anyway, Aniyor village is down the side, that's the eastern side, about sort of three quarters of the way down, on the eastern side. So just out, about 500 meters, or just 500-600 meters, it's not far, but it is away, so it's not on the normal parikrama path. You have to take a little detour. It's actually part of the long parikrama. It is a place called Gauri Tirtha, or Gauri Kund. Yes, it's the place of Gauri, a special deity, actually like a deity of Yoga Maya, or they would say Durga. And she's overseeing certain pastimes here. So let me tell you the story of Gauri Kund. It's a long story actually. But what happened was one day, Jatila. Have you heard of Jatila? Have you heard of Jatila? Have you heard of Jatila? Have you? Has anyone heard of Jatila? You know? You heard of it? Oh, you are Jatila! Oh! Shoot! Sure. Gotta be careful what you think of. Your wish may be fulfilled. So anyway, Jatila, who is the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, who is married to her son, of course, Abhimanyu. Oh, this is Abhimanyu. Wow. Oh, that's Abhimanyu. Oh, excuse me, sorry. Oh, this is Radharani, of course. Sorry. Now, don't mind me saying this, all right? You can block your ears for a few seconds. Abhimanyu is a bit of a doofus. What would you say? A Murug. That's creepy. A Mahamurug. In fact, he is a mega Murug, actually. But somehow he got married to Srimati Radharani. It was the arrangement of Purnamasi. Purnamasi. Purnamasi? She's not around. Oh, Purnamasi! Wow. Let me tell you that story. Just listen to this. You may have heard it before. Krishna was out herding the cows happily one afternoon. And then Purnamasi came. Oh, okay. And gave him a laddu. Oh, okay. Krishna. Right. It's amazing. Gave him a laddu. And Krishna said, wow. What? Oh, okay. Where did you get this from? Okay. And she said, oh, didn't you hear? There was a wedding in the village. And Krishna said, really? Who got married? Nobody told me. And Purnamasi said that Abhimanyu got married. And Krishna said, what that klutz? Who was the foolish girl who married him? I can't believe it. I mean, is it possible? It's like the booby prize. And Purnamasi said, he married. Well, and now Krishna is lifting the laddu to his mouth. Say something to the mouth. And he says, really, who was the foolish girl who married Abhimanyu? And he took a bite. That's it. And just as he took a bite, Purnamasi said, Radharani! And Krishna spat out the laddu. And he said, this is the worst laddu I ever tasted. But anyway, okay, thank you. Don't get too far away. Gentila received an official communique from the government, from King Kamsa, that he wants Radharani to come and stay under his protection in Mathura, because he has heard that she has been bothered too much by this rascal, Krishna. And, so he wants to protect her. A likely story. Actually, he had heard of Radharani, how beautiful she is, and he wanted her for himself. But she's already married to our hero, not exactly, but anyway, Abhimanyu. I mean, it's happened, so it's there. So, the subtle part of the story was that Abhimanyu and Radharani would go to Mathura. Kamsa would get his hands on Radharani, and he would have Abhimanyu offered as a human sacrifice to Lord Shiva. Whoa. When Jatila heard that, she was pretty fried. Fried? Yeah, sure. Your Abhimanyu, your handsome, intelligent, a little doofy. So what to do? What to do? Jatila understood. We had to go to the Gauri temple at Gauri Tirtha, Gauri Kund, and pray to her. And maybe she will save the day. So they went to Gauri Kund. Now, unknown by them, Krishna, our real hero, had removed the deity from the Gauri temple, and he was now. Anyway, he was now the deity there, disguised in a female form, in which he is called. Well, you've heard of Mohini, the female form of Krishna. There is another one, and this is her. She is called Nikunja Vidya. You understand Nikunja Vidya? One who has knowledge of how to enjoy in the kunjas, in the forest groves. That's Krishna. So now, Krishna is in the form of the deity. So here they are. And they're praying and praying to Gauri, the Kunja Vidya. Please do something. They won't just kill him, they'll eat him. Then an amazing thing happened. Gauri spoke and told them that, don't worry, I can save the situation. But there are certain conditions. You, Jatila, you're such a rascal. You will not let your daughter-in-law meet with Lord Krishna. And you start all sorts of rumors. claim that they have some sort of bad relationship. This is not right. Their relationship is completely pure. So you must never again stop your daughter-in-law meeting with Krishna. And Jatila says, no problem, no problem, no problem, no problem. Yes, 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 anytime. 25 hours a day. 8 days a week. So yes, no, she can meet with Krishna anytime. And the Kunja Vidya said, I give you my word, their relationship will be completely pure. Just think. Yeah? So like this, the problem was solved. Actually, it was just a rumor that Kamsa wanted Radharani to go there. It was just a tricky rumor to create this situation. And in this way, Radha and Krishna were able to associate nicely and happily through this pastime from Gauri Kund. Sri Gauri Kund King. Give a round of applause. Yes, well, this morning, like we said, we started at Radhakund Shalakund, basically the northern end. Then we came down, we stopped here and there. We stopped at Aniyor, we stopped at Govindakund. And then finally, we reached Punchari, means the southern end of Govardhan Hill. Punchari literally means the tail of the peacock. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in fact, says that the hill is shaped like a peacock. And in many ways it's true. Radhakund, Shavakund are the eyes. Kusum Sarova is the mouth. And then Punchari, the southern end, is the tail of the peacock. We went to, with the last place we went this morning. Who was there this morning? I was there. Really? Okay, anyway. Let me tell you, oh, you were there too, weren't you? You were chanting 8 rounds a day. Yes. But you're going to do more, aren't you? Yes, okay. Let us tell you the story of Lota Baba again, because it's a nice story. You know, just down here at the southern end, just a little away from the hill, maybe 200 meters, where the road goes around, there is the Lota Baba Temple. It's a very popular temple. Everyone loves Lota Baba. He is a cowherd boy. And when Krishna, the day Krishna was to leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura, that day Krishna visited all his friends and so many people. And he said goodbye. Said goodbye to everyone. I'm going to Mathura. So he said goodbye to Lota Baba also. And Lota Baba said, well, when are you going to return? And Krishna said, no problem, I'll be back tomorrow. But Lota Baba said, I have a feeling you're not coming back tomorrow. And Krishna said, no, 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 tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the day after. And Lota Baba said, but I just have this feeling you're not coming back. And Krishna said, no, it's not the day after tomorrow, the day after that, you can count on me. And Krishna said, listen, let's make a deal. You just wait right here, right where the temple is now. You wait right here, and you see, I'll be back just a couple of days. Don't move. Don't move. So Lotabhava said, right, that's it. I am waiting here. So he did. He just stood there. And the next day, Krishna did not return. And the day after that, Krishna did not return. And the day after that, Krishna didn't return. Didn't return. Yes. And 1 week, Krishna didn't return. And then 2 weeks, Krishna didn't return. And then 1 month, but Lotabhava was still on that spot, right there. That was 1 month, and then 3, and then 6, and then a year. And Lotabhava was still there, and his poor parents didn't know what to do. They'd given up hope. So, 1 year passed, 3, 5 years, 10, 20, 50 years passed. Krishna had not returned, but Lotabhava was still there, right on the spot. He hadn't moved. This is dedication. This is seriousness about devotional service, determination. So 50 years, 50 years, Krishna had not returned. Finally, Krishna returned. 4,500 years later, as Lord Chaitanya, and Lotabhava had turned into a deity. And Lord Chaitanya came and embraced the deity of Lotabhava and said, see, I told you I'd return. And here I am. So that happened there. And Lotabhava is just such an example of determination and devotional service. So we're just selecting a few places here and there right now. Coming around the other way, you know, because you start at this end, go down the eastern side to the southern end, and then you come up the western side to the northern end, and it's normally like that. It's the normal way. Keep your right side to the worshipable object. Yeah, not the left side. Keep the right side. Yeah. So anyway, around here, there is, first of all, there is Indra Kund. Then there is Surabhi Kund. Then there is Airavata Kund. And then there is Rudra Kund. These are all very famous personalities. The Surabhi cow. And Lord Indra, of course. And then Airavata is the elephant carrier of Lord Indra, and Rudra, that's Lord Shiva. So you see what happened. This is where they all landed. when they came in for the great Abhishek, the great bathing ceremony of Lord Krishna, after the Govardhan Puja, after the big storm for 1 week, then Lord Indra understood that I made a terrible mistake. So after all of that, there was a big Abhishek for Lord Krishna at Govindakund, which is on the other side. And all these great personalities came, all the demigods, all the great sages, the personified holy places. Anybody who was anybody came to that bathing ceremony of Lord Krishna at Govindakund. But when they came, they all came flying in at different places. So Indra landed, you know, there where Indrakund is now. The Surabhi cow landed at what is now Surabhi Kund. It's actually a very nice place. And Airavata came flying in. Airavata is an elephant. He's the carrier of Indra, you know, like we mentioned. Ganga Devi has a crocodile. Krishna, Vishnu has Garuda. Indra has Airavata. And he's a giant elephant with four tusks. With four tusks. And he came flying in. But he was in such a rush. You know what happened? He came flying in too fast and crash landed. Airavata crash landed. So just around here, there's a temple. And next to the temple is the Airavata Shila, a sort of medium-sized, sort of that size, Govardhan Shila. And in it is the footprint of Airavata, this big, roundish impression, just like straight into the top of the Shila. So, did you see that? Come forward a bit. Okay. Aye, aye. What would you say? Mujhe aapka sangha chahiye. And anyone who's sort of, just stuck at the back there, please come around, come forward this place. So, right, now, if you come along on this western side, there are not so many places. There is one place. It's a little out from the hill. It is called Sakhistani. It is the place of Chandravali. Have you heard of Chandravali? Have you heard? You heard of Chandravali? You have. You have? Not likely. Have you heard of Chandravali? Have you? Really? She is actually a sister of Srimati Radharani. Very interesting personality. But she is Radharani's competitor when it comes to getting the attention of Krishna and getting the association of Krishna. And that Sakhistani on that side, that is the place where she stays and where her friends gather. It's kind of like Radhakund and Shamakund to Srimati Radharani. So, one time, Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, he was staying at Radhakund Shamakund, in between the two. And all he was eating was one leaf cup of buttermilk a day. You know, he had a very amazing program. He chanted 64 rounds a day. 64 rounds. Who's chanting 16 rounds? Are you chanting 16 rounds? Are you? I'm chanting 16 rounds. She's chanting. Okay. He would chant 64 rounds a day. Then he would give class for minimum 3 hours a day about Lord Chaitanya. Then he would offer obeisances 1,000 times to deities. And when we say obeisances, we don't mean what Prabhupada called jackknife obeisances, just on your knees, hands and knees, choo, choo. You know? Choo, choo. But prostrated obeisances 1,000 times to deities. Then he would offer obeisances 2,000 times a day to devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami. In fact, there's a story, let me tell you a little story. It's from Radhakund Shamakund. Raghunath Das Goswami, now, he was old. He was old. But he continued this program rigidly. His following, his maintenance of his principles and standards is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as being like so inflexible and fixed. Just like if you carve a line in rock, somehow if you have a diamond blade or something very special, you can carve a line in rock and it's fixed. It's not going to bend or anything like that. So he was maintaining those standards here at Radhakund and Shamakund. And one day, a small group of devotees were doing parikrama around the kunds, and they came to one temple and went inside, and there was Raghunath Das Goswami on the floor offering dandavats. So they also offered dandavats to the deities. And they got up, but Raghunath Das Goswami did not get up. And they realized he cannot get up because he's too old and frail and he's practically not eating. So they picked him up and sort of dusted him off a little. And they told him, you know, you are such a great devotee, and you are so elderly. You don't need to offer obeisances like that. It's too much for you physically. You don't need to do it. Just stand in front of the deity. Just stand like this and offer pranams, maybe chant a prayer. And Krishna will understand, don't worry. So Raghunath Das Goswami said, thank you so much. That is just excellent advice. Thank you very much. Devotees and friends, listen. The next day at the same time, that same little group of devotees came around to the same temple and went inside. And you know what they saw? Take a guess. There was Raghunath Das Goswami on the floor offering dandavats. And they offered their obeisances and stood up, but he didn't get up because he couldn't. But they thought, all right, and they just carried on. So this is Raghunath Das Goswami, very special devotee. So we were saying though about Sakhi Sthali, which is down here on this side, on the western side, just out from Govardhan town. The Raghunath Das Goswami is living here at Radhakrishnapand. And he had an assistant. He had an assistant who would, you know, not that he needed, not that he would accept much help, but he would prepare his buttermilk for him every day. One leaf cup of buttermilk. So Krishna, his assistant, one day went on parikrama, went past the Sakhi Sthali, and saw there's a big tree with big leaves. And he thought, let me take some of the leaves to make leaf cups. So Raghunath, bigger leaf cups, big ones. So Raghunath Das Goswami can have more buttermilk, and that will maintain his body better. So he took some leaves and he made it a big leaf cup and filled it up with plenty of buttermilk and gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami looked at this big leaf cup full of buttermilk and he asked, where did you get this from? And the assistant said, from Sakhi Sthali, the place of Chandravali. And Raghunath Das Goswami looked at the cup and just threw it on the ground. He would not accept something from someone who is a competitor of Srimati Radharani. So, so we're coming down the side now, past Govardhan town, past Sakhi Sthali, and now we're coming down. We are approaching Uddhava Kund. We are approaching Uddhava Kund. Uddhava Kund is a very special place. It's a very special place. Well, you've heard, I imagine, of Uddhava. He was very close associate of Krishna's in Mathura and in Dwarka. In fact, he was like his main advisor. And when Krishna left Vrindavan, and the bridge buses, and particularly the gopis, were thrown into an ocean of separation, just unlimited ocean of separation. So, Uddhava came with messages from Krishna to Nandagram. Let's see now what happened. Let us see what happened. We are now at Nandagram.
Uddhava, the personified mellows of spiritual surrender, friendship, and servitude. He who acts as the transcendental messenger of the divine. Set mission and travel to to the land of transcendence with a message from the Supreme to deliver to his most dear devotees, the Gopis.
Later, Lord Krishna left this world. When that happened, his 16,108 queens from Dwarka, they all went to Mathura and lived under the shelter of Vajranaa. Vajranaa is the great grandson of Lord Krishna. He was ruling the Mathura area under Maharaj Parikshit, who was the emperor of the world. So, those queens, though, the queens living there in Mathura, under the shelter of Vajranaa, they were feeling separation from Krishna so much, and they didn't know, what can we do to mitigate these feelings of separation? What can we do? Is there something we can do? Then one of the queens, Kalindi, she had an idea that when the gopis were feeling separation from Krishna, they got the association of Uddhava. And Uddhava spoke to them, and their feelings of separation subsided. They became peaceful. So Kalindi said, what we need the association of Uddhava. That's what we need. And everyone agreed, you're right. We need Uddhava's association. But then someone said, but he's also left this world. He's also left this world. How can we get his association? It's not possible. But then Kalindi said, no, Uddhava is living still at Uddhava Kund in the form of grass. Because, if you know the story of it, after giving the messages to the gopis at Nandagram, that place is called Uddhava Kyari, Uddhava went on horse back to Mathura and he passed Govardhan Hill. As he passed Govardhan Hill, as he passed where Uddhava Kund is, he was just feeling so amazed by the association he'd had with the gopis. And he thought, I should just stay here in Vrindavan. He thought that, let me take birth here. Let me take birth here as grass. And then, maybe the gopis will step on me. And even if they don't step on me, maybe they just walk, you know, a little distance away. Then they will kick up some dust, and maybe that dust will come and land on my head if I am grass here in this Kund. And I must mention devotees. Many years ago, one devotee here raised the question, important question, that if Uddhava was thinking that the gopis will kick up dust and the wind will carry it some distance and it will land on the heads of Uddhava, who is grass, one devotee raised the question, what if some of that dust is carried by the wind to Durban? And we'll get some of that dust on our heads. We don't know about that. But anyway, a nice thought. So, Uddhava is still there. If you come with us, we're leaving on Friday. We'll be living just near Oudekund, not far from Oudekund. And you can go there. But be careful about walking on the grass because it's Oudekund. So anyway, the queens decided, because Udava is there still in the form of grass, we should go there and we will have kirtan. We will have a great kirtan. And maybe Udava will come out of the grass. And then he'll speak to us like he spoke to the gopis. And he'll pacify us, just like he pacified the gopis. So they went. They went to Udavakund. It's just on the western side, kind of a northwestern side of Govardhan Hill. Ah, enthusiastic cowgirl boy. Yeah, where's the cows? Looking for the cows. So, yeah. So they went there, and they had big kirtan. And sure enough, Udava came out of the grass and took them to Kusum Sarova, which is over on this side. It's in this area. No, wait a minute. Anyway, it's somewhere down there. Took them over to Kusum Sarova. I'm sure you're familiar with Kusum Sarova, even if you haven't been there. The beautiful lake, which has the beautiful kind of palace buildings behind it. That's Kusum Sarova. And they all sat around Kusum Sarova. And he recited the pastimes of Krishna 24 hours a day for 1 month. For 1 month. And after he had been reciting for about a week, one of the queens went back to Goloka Vrindavan in front of everyone. And then another queen, and another queen. There were 16,108 of them. And by the time he finished the recitation, 24 hours a day for 1 month, all of the queens had gone back to Goloka Vrindavan. And then Udava went back to Udavakund, back into the grass, and he is still there. He's still there, waiting for you to come. He's waiting for all the nice ISKCON devotees, particularly those who are chanting 16 rounds. You're chanting 16 rounds. Anyway, he's still waiting for you. So that happened at Udavakund. And it's a very nice, sacred place. Just before you reach Radhakund. So anyway, we're coming around now, and we're coming to Radhakund. Let me just read, if I can, fine. Verses in glorification of Radhakund and Shyamakund. Shyamakund and Radhakund are two great floods of the nectar of beauty. They're two great oceans of splendor. They're two beautiful roots from which sweet devotional service grows. They're two jewel mines of love. They're two seeds from which grow the jewel vines of transcendental pastimes. by seeing these two names, Radha and Krishna, believe their presence in them. It is as if they directly see each other there. The wise say that by approaching these lakes, one directly approaches Radha and Krishna. I think that when Radha saw Krishna, she melted with ecstasy and thus assumed the liquid state of the waters of Radhakund. And in the same way, when Krishna saw Radha, he also melted in ecstasy and became the waters of Shyamakund. In this way, these two names bear the names and qualities of the divine couple. Out of great kindness to the people, so they could directly taste their sweetness, Radha and Krishna have become these two names. So we already told you a couple of pastimes from Radhakund, Shyamakund, Raghunath Das Goswami. There's so many pastimes there, and around Radhakund and Shyamakund, there's so many pastime places. One time, devotees, while Sanatan Goswami was living in between Radhakund and Shyamakund, Rupa Goswami came to see him.
Hello, dear Sanatan. Here is a book called Chatur Pushpanjali for you to edit.
Thank you so much, my dear Rupa Goswami. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hello, dear Sanatan. Have you finished?
I have not yet finished, my dear Rupa Goswami. I shall revert back to you when I'm done.
Okay, dear Sanatan, I will.
I still cannot understand this. How the goddess of all fortune, Srimati Radharani's hair, has this resemblance? My mind.
Sanatan went to the banks of Radhakund and sat in deep meditation, putting his mind on the editing of this poem. And as he reflected deeply, he saw some gopis playing a ball game on the other side of the banks of Radhakund.
Overlooking the hill in the Kund, it's really wonderful. So there at Govindakund, if you just walk a little further down the hill, you come to the Dolkha Dauji Temple. Dauji means older brother. That's Lord Balaram. And Dolkha, it's like the local variation of the word like Deko Denki, to see. Dolkha Dauji means Lord Balaram, who is watching. What's he watching? Well, at this southern end of Govindan Hill, there's a place called Rasastani. And there at Rasastani, the spring rasa dance stands. Of course, the main rasa dance which we read about in the 10th canto in the Krishna books, that's the autumn or Kartik rasa dance, which starts from Vrindavan town. But the spring rasa dance starts here at the southern end of Govardhan Hill and comes swinging out and around the hill. And one time Lord Balaram was on top of the hill, just looking out here and there, and he saw Krishna and the gopis dancing, and he became stunned. Not only did he become stunned, he became so absorbed in watching Krishna that his body turned blackish. His body turned blackish. And he's still there. He's still there at that place in the temple which is on top of the hill. Dolkha Dauji. And he became so overwhelmed, his crown fell off his head, came bouncing down the side of the hill, and landed on one rock. And that rock is still there. It is called the Mukutshila. Mukut meaning the crown. The Mukutshila of Lord Balaram. So there you go, devotees. We've visited some of the important pastime places. And so on this very special day of Govardhan Puja, let us try to remember Govardhan Hill, remember Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, and remember the pastimes which have taken place in some of these places around the hill. So now we will have the Govardhan Puja. We'll offer arati to Govardhan Hill, and then we'll circumambulate the hill. Sri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Giri Govardhan.